It's always a joy to me personally when I come here. You guys have something that I find very few places. I travel around among churches quite a bit. And you guys have something that's unique. And often when we're in a situation that's unique and we don't know a lot of other places, we don't realize how unique we really are. You guys are awesome. We serve an awesome God. And that makes us awesomeites. And you guys are. You're awesome. We had a good time with the men. And I want to say just a word about the major point of what we had for the weekend as an introduction to what I want to do this morning. Psalm 73. You guys remember that one? Psalm 73. I got a little confused, but the guys got it. Okay. And I just want to look at the first verse and make a few comments. Then we are moving to the book of Hebrews. Truly, God is good. We all know that. God is good to Israel, to the pure in heart. Now, what's the implications of the way that is stated? God is good, we all know that, but is good to Israel, specifically to those who are pure in heart. Now, the implication of that is not that God is not good with reference to the people who are not Israel. Nor is the implication that he's not good with people who don't have a pure heart. Here's the point. His goodness lands on the people who have a pure heart. God is good to the whole world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. We all know that. There is no one in this world to whom God is not good. But there are those who have not received that goodness. So do I have to get a pure heart before I can ever, you know, here we get into the problem. I just feel this way and sometimes I do that. What we discovered this weekend is that the pure in heart is not the person who always does it right. The pure in heart is the one who recognizes when he has an attitude towards something or someone who has done him wrong. The pure in heart is the one who uses the offense of others to look at himself and deal with himself. You stop dealing with the other people trying to change your wife, trying to change your husband, trying to change your parents, trying to change the pastor, trying to change everything so you can continue to be selfish. I wonder if you heard me. My wife and I have a prayer ministry with people. They come, and it's happened more than once. Husband and a wife come, and the husband came because the wife insisted. And she came to get him changed so she can continue to be a selfish bride. And he gets a lot of help. But she doesn't get any help because she doesn't want to change. So here's the point. The pure in heart is not the one who does it all right and all those stupid people out there that do it wrong. That's not the pure in heart. The pure in heart takes an offense and say, okay, what is this in me that reacts? And I want to deal with me. Now, that is a real simple summary of what we were trying to accomplish this weekend. Let's go to the book of Hebrews. And the reason I'm going here is during the weekend, Pastor Mac just made in passing in a situation, he drew attention to the fact that it says, today, when you hear his voice. When is today? It's today. Whatever day you're in is today. Today, if you hear his voice. Now, that was written probably 900 years before Christ. Maybe 800. It's hard to say with some of the song. Today, when you hear his voice. But the next day, today, when you hear. The next day, the next year, the next century, or the next millennium. Today, when you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Whenever you hear his voice, he's not telling you how bad other people are. He's telling you what you need to do about it within yourself. When God addresses you, he's talking to you. And he's wanting a response from you. So today, when you hear his voice, now hopefully, how much time do I have, guys? About 2 hours, 3 hours? I know. Brother Eddie's going to give me 4 hours, so I hopefully can get it done more quickly than that. I've taught the book of Hebrews a number of times. I love teaching the book of Hebrews. But beginning with chapter 2, verse 14, and very briefly, this is what Jesus has done. One phrase that came to me this weekend, we were having a lot of fellowship, and it occurred to me there were several fellows in the ship. Now, if you're in a ship and one of the fellows in the ship decides to bore a hole in the bottom of the boat and you go try to correct him, I feel led to bore this hole. God told me. And it's no business of yours. Look, I'm in the boat. It's my business. Now, here's my point. Jesus became one of the fellows in the ship, full well knowing many of us drill holes in the bottom of the boat. And he didn't get mad at us, and he didn't have bitterness and anger. He died to bring redemption. He took it upon himself. And we need to learn to take it upon ourselves rather than waiting for everyone else to change so we can continue to be self-centered. Okay, so there's through death, he destroyed him who has the power of death and all of that. Chapter 3, holy brothers and sisters, you share in a heavenly calling. Now, one of the most tragic things in the church, and there are several church history. One of the most tragic is when they shifted from the kingdom of God coming here today in this world and changing the world into a world that's good to live in. And they shifted someday, pie in the sky, when I die, by and by. For the legalists, if I try. You with it? Now, in making that statement, there's no way I'm denying heaven, and there's no way that I'm denying you're going there. That, you know, that's settled. Once you're justified by faith, that's settled. But meanwhile, here, God wants to see some change in Eddie. God wants to see, I know several of the guys' names, the girls I don't have yet. Here's a big one. God wants to change Steve. And God wants to change Rich. And Fount. Is it Roger? Hey, I got it. Roger. He wasn't even there, and I got his name. Wow. God wants to change me so that you can have a better world. Instead of change you so I can have things my way. Okay. Now, the heavenly call is a call to be with him here on your way to there. I can't say it more simply, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on that. But he goes on, we are in God's house. Moses was a servant in God's house, and Jesus was a son. But then there's a statement here in verse 5, if I can read correctly. My glasses don't work as well as they used to. Christ is faithful over God's house as a son, and we are his house. See, the house he's talking about is not a building. It's a household. It's a family. It's a father with a whole bunch of kids. We are his house. If indeed we hold our confidence and our boasting in our hope. Boasting. That means I talk about how good God is. I talk about what God has done for me. I talk about God, what God has done for us. I talk about it. That's boasting. It's not glory to me, I'm awesome. Well, I am, but... But my focus is on what God is doing. That's boasting. Now, we are his household if. Now, I want to just make a statement. You do not cease to be a son of God when you fail to do the if clause. The principle of an if clause, if you do the if, then you get the then. If you don't do the if, you don't get the then. Is that simple? So there's an if clause. And it's related to the house. And what I thought of was the prodigal son and the elder brother. They were sons, but they were not in the house. The son was out trying to earn a right to live in the house that belonged to him. It was his house. And he thought he had to earn a right to go in and have a party. And the younger brother thought, if I leave home, then I can have a party. But he wasn't in God's house. Neither son was in God's house. We are in the household of God if... You're still sons. You're still going to heaven. We're not talking about dying and going to hell. We're not talking about that. We're talking about having a victorious life here. And that's what I want. There's a passage in 1 Corinthians. I don't remember, maybe 1 Corinthians chapter 3, somewhere in that area, that says all of your works are going to be tested with fire. Those who build with gold and silver and precious stone, they'll survive the fire. And those works that are of wood, hay, and stubble are going to be burned up. And then he goes in and said, you're going to make it to the other side, but you don't have a reward. How many of you want to go over there and not have a reward? Well, I'm here, but I have nothing. You want something? They say, you can't take it with you. There is something you can take with you. The work that you've done for the kingdom of God goes with you. The fruit that you bear in the kingdom of God goes with you. Okay, this is going to take forever if I keep doing that. Okay, and it's in this context that he says today, and he's quoting from the Psalm, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion on the day of the testing and so forth and so forth. The last part of verse 10, I was provoked and I said, they always go astray in their heart. Now, they may be doing all the right things, going to church every Sunday, dressed well, looking good, and acting spiritual, but there's something missing. Their heart is somewhere else. The heart is the issue. And I swore in my they shall not enter my rest. And we move on down. We have another today in verse, is it 15? If you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. I think the Hebrew writer is trying to get our attention about today. Today, 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 today. And he's going to say it again in a few moments. Well, in the middle of the next chapter. Now, verse 16, I'm going to spend just a little time here. Who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not those who left Egypt? They were delivered out of bondage. It was not a group of people who had not been delivered. It's some people who heard, but what they heard was not mixed with faith in the hearer. And I'm not sure what version they're putting up. I'm using the New English Version, which some of them read differently because the texts are different. We don't need to go into that. In verse 18, to whom did he swear they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? Now, this word disobedient, there's another word in Greek that talks about obedience. This word is the same root that speaks of faith, of believing. And the point of this particular verse, if you don't do it, you don't believe it. I heard the word in quote, I believe. The Bible says, therefore I believe, but I'm not living it. If you're not living it, you really don't believe it. You believe it in your head is the best way to say it, but it is not where? In your heart. Because what's in your heart moves you toward what's in your heart. And if there's bitterness in your heart, you're going toward bitterness. Okay. Chapter 4. Boy, we're doing good. A chapter and a half already. Therefore, while the promise... You see, the gospel, and it talks about hearing the good news later, to them the gospel is you're on your way out of Egypt. You're not going to be in bondage anymore. That was good news. And the good news in the wilderness, Mount Sinai, you're going into a land that's got milk and honey and all sorts of good stuff. Promise. The good news is a promise. The good news, you don't have it, but it's potentially yours. The new land, which in this text is calling rest, and we'll get there in just a moment. The new land on the other side of the wilderness, on the other side of the Red Sea, on through the wilderness, and on the other side of Jordan. That land, rest, and it's a promise. But when they got into the land, did they find rest? They did not. Because they continued to do their own thing. They continued to worship other gods. They continued to do the same stuff that killed them in the wilderness. Now, we're going somewhere with this. I have a ministry of condemnation. Everybody feels, oh no, am I going to make it? Yeah, you're going to make it. But hopefully there's a challenge here. Verse 2, the good news, there's the word. The good news, which is a promise, there's something I have for you. came to us, and that's those who have heard the gospel, just as it came to them. But the message they heard did not benefit them, because they were not united by faith with those who listened. Now that's this version. And they're actually textual things that lead some translations to say, faith was not mixed in the heart of the people with what they heard. In other words, the word came, they believed the word, but not faith. There's a difference between faith and believe. I believe, I believe, I believe. But if you're not doing it, faith does it. Belief just believes it. Now, it was not mixed in them, the faith in the word, and therefore the action that follows the word. It just didn't get mixed in them. They missed it. For we who have believed enter the rest, as he said, I swore in my wrath, what? Now, the word which is translated enter here, it's a verb form that they call the middle voice, and they call it a deponent verb. Now that, don't worry about the words. What does it mean? When you go get a haircut, you don't cut your own hair, but you participate in the haircut by making yourself available to the one who cuts hair. When you go, if you go to the barber to get a shave, you go get a shave. You don't shave yourself, but you submit yourself to the one who gives the shave. And if you don't submit, you don't get the shave. But it's two parts. And the work of God in a man's life is like that. There's two sides. And you need to go get saved. Now, who's going to save you? Well, God is, but not if you don't put yourself under the salvation. It's available, it's a promise, and it's for everybody in the whole world. There's no one out there to whom this promise is not given. But it has to be mixed with faith. Is this making some sense? There has to be this thing in the heart that receives it and allows it to begin to determine the behavior. And as long as we had a guy years ago, well, I've had a lot of students through the years, taught for 40 years on campuses, but this one particular student come into the dormitory 2-3 times a week drunk. And I called him into my office talking to him, and he said, well, I'm saved by grace. I said, well, what were you saved from? Well, I know I'm going to heaven.